Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you. I always look forward to these times together. They are such a blessing for me, and I pray that they are as well for you. I hope that they help you in your walk, in your relationship with the Lord. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki again for all that they do to make these times possible. But obviously, more than anyone, I want to thank our Lord for loving us, for creating us, for bringing us to Himself in salvation, for sending His Spirit to live within us, for wanting us to know Him and the desire He has to speak to us, giving us His Word this time, these means to meet together. And so before we get started, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day that You've given to us. Lord, Your love for us. Father, we praise You as the living and almighty and sovereign ruling God. Father, we praise You for Your mercy, for Your grace, O God, and Your greatness. Fathers, we're before You now. Open our minds and our hearts. Lord, enable us to hear from You. Cleanse us, Lord. Prepare us to meet with You. But Father, in this time, may it be as if, O God, each of us is meeting with You one-on-one, and there's no one else, there's nothing else, O God. Father, speak to us, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, it is so good to be together before our Lord as we meet with Him. And what a good God we have to meet with. And what a wonderful God who wants us to know Him. When we think about who He is, what He is like, it leads us to praise Him. It leads us to worship Him. It leads us to adore Him. It leads us to want to live for Him and obey Him and serve Him, to have a life of being in fellowship with Him. And that's exactly what we see as we look at Psalm 149 today, or this evening, whenever it is that you're watching this. As we think about our Lord and who He is, what He's done, and how that ought to lead us to praise Him and serve Him, you think about some of the elements we see in this psalm. We see, first of all, He has made us. Think about what we read in verse 1 through the very first part of verse 2. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in His praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in His Maker. You know, they're looking at the fact that God did in fact make them individually and as a nation. They knew Him as their Creator. We know we can say exactly the same thing. He has made us, obviously, in terms of our physical existence. Psalm 139 makes it very clear, when we were yet in our mother's womb, He knew us. He formed us. He brought us together. But then as believers, we know that we have in fact been made by Him. John 3 talks about being born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. He has in fact made us in Christ. He has made us in our existence. He has remade us in salvation. And that's not the end of His work upon us. In fact, as each day He is making us, working upon us, so that we'll be more like Christ, so that we'll fulfill the plan, the purpose He has for our life. You think about what we read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. You think about that. This very moment, God is in fact working on us. All the circumstances that we find ourselves in today, the various things that we face, that's part of God's working to mold us, to shape us, to refine us, to purge us. You know, there used to be a children's song. I don't know if very many children are taught the song anymore. But, you know, He's still working on me. And expresses that wonderful truth that this very moment God is working on us. God is, in fact, our Creator. He has, in fact, made us. God is in fact working upon us. And so what a wonderful God we have. He made us in existence. He's remade us in salvation. And daily He's making us to be conformed to His image. What a wonderful God we have. But not only do we see the fact that He makes us, but notice as well He rules over us. Look at the latter part of verse 2. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their King. You know, we're talking about God being Lord, King, Master, Ruler. He is completely different from any earthly ruler or king. God is completely different from any tyrant. He is, in fact, a shepherd king. It is a love relationship he has with his people. He leads them. He doesn't drive them. He has provision for them. He protects them. He plans for their future. What a God we have who rules and reigns over us. You stop and you think about, for instance, Psalm 23 that we love so well. By him being our shepherd, that means we are his responsibility. And again, it's his responsibility to protect, to provide, to guide. What a wonderful king we have, the very best king, one who's perfect in his person, in his performance, in his desire for us. What a wonderful king we have. He rules over us. He makes us and has made us. He rules over us. But then notice as well, number three, he loves us. Look at verses 3-4. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. You think about what that fourth verse says. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. You think about all that God has made, this beautiful creation. I know the past several weeks we've been having our devotion time inside because, as you well know, it's just extremely hot outside right now. But I look forward to us being able to have our devotions outside again. Just because I love to look around and see his handiwork. But you think of all that God has made, this beautiful earth. You think of the mountains. You think of the ocean. You think of the seashore. You think of the trees, the plants, the flowers, the birds, the wildlife. You think about all of it. You think about the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. You think about all of that. And yet in the midst of it, of all of that, we are what he wants. We are what he takes pleasure in. Of all that God has, and it's all his, we are what he wants. He deeply, deeply loves us, and that love was forever proven at Calvary. You think about it. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. At Calvary, God's love was forever proven. What an incredible God we have. And this is not just theological head knowledge. It's a knowledge to be experienced. Verse 5, let the godly ones exult in the Lord. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Why? Because of the very real difference he makes in their life. You know, it's probably one reason why we all, myself included, love the book of Psalms. It has a tremendous amount of theology, far more than what we often think about. A lot of prophecy in the book of Psalms. But all that theology, all that prophecy, all that wonderful truth is put in the terms of a personal heart-to-heart relationship with God. Psalms is a beautiful blend of the theology and of the experience. And this is exactly what the psalmist is writing about. It is not that we have less of that today. In fact, is you can make the argument that we can have more of it. Because as believers in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit now living within us. That's God himself. He desires to communicate with us. He desires for us to know him, to be led by him, to be taught by him, to be filled by him. He is with us and he wants us to know his presence and his love. You know, what a wonderful, incredible God we have. He wants us to know him. But then lastly, notice as well, he uses us. And by that I mean this, I don't mean that. Sometimes we use the word or the phraseology, you know, someone using someone else in a bad sense. But I mean the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, a calling. You think about what we see in verses 6-9. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written, This is an honor for all of his godly ones. Praise the Lord. This looks ahead to Christ's return and the desire to be part of his people and to be used by him as he executes his judgment, as he establishes his righteous reign on this earth. But you know, whether it's then or now, God desires to use us. And again, you think about it as believers. When we place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. He's the seal of our salvation. But you think what else he does? He gives us spiritual gifts. That is the unique way that God wants to use us. And then he gives us to a local church fellowship where that ministry can be used as part of that body of Christ. And then he uses us and that body to glorify his name and fulfill his purpose. The wonderful truth of the matter is that you and I are part of God's eternal plan for the ages. You are part of God's eternal plan for the ages. He has a plan for you in a way in which he wants to use you. What an incredible thought. We're not just here. We're here by plan and purpose, and God has a desire to use us. What a reason for life and for living. And God will wonderfully, miraculously use us if we let him. You know, no wonder the psalmist was full of praise for the Lord. What a wonderful God we have. We're so blessed to be among his people, to be loved by him, to be made, remade, and still being in our ongoing way made by him, to be used by him. What a God we have. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you, and O God, we praise you. You are, O God, a wonderful, living God. Father, we praise you. We love you. Thank you for loving us, for bringing us to yourself, for filling us. O Lord God, for being our King, for wanting to use us as part of your eternal plan. Father, as we go through this day, may we walk with you, have fellowship with you, be filled by you, be used by you. Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, it has been good to be with you. I should have said this earlier, hope that you're having a great day today. Hope that you'll have a good rest of this day, that you'll walk in fellowship with the Lord, that you'll know his love, that you'll experience him using you in a wonderful way. I look forward to our next time together.